Justin Otzi is with me. Justin is a city planner for Two Harbors, really as a principal planner for the ARDC. Justin, you've been on the radio before, but it's been a while. So thank you for being with us this morning.
Yeah, Katya, thanks for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. And I inquired about this interview because we've had another sort of iteration of discussions and city work about a development potential out on our breakwall area. And I thought it would be a helpful time just to really go over, you know, what is the process here? How things unfolded as they did. I mean, this particular one has closed its chapter, I think, for now. But I think, you know, it really helps us citizens understand how it works, can only benefit future events like this. So do you want to just share with us how exactly this project began? There's somebody, you know, this land out on the breakwall or out on the point is privately owned. And so then what happens next?
Yeah, definitely. And thanks for the opportunity. I think one of the things we wanted to talk about, you know, and not knowing what the outcome of the vote earlier this week was going to be, was kind of really focused on this process. Yeah, as you mentioned, specific to Lighthouse Point, this parcel is a privately owned piece, and that kind of stemmed from the Sam Cave Agreement that I think a lot of folks are familiar with, kind of 20 years ago, around 2006. And so that agreement resulted in setting aside a couple of private parcels, and you know, it had a lot of development, or there was a lot of ideas around the development there, and that didn't come to fruition for a host of reasons that I probably can't really speak to, just from a timing side of things, but that's why that prevailed, and it's still a privately owned parcel. And so it is under mixed-use waterfront, would require, if it were to traditionally be developed just by the zoning, it would require a conditional use permit. And so that has kind of its own public hearing and process. And, you know, if approved, the whatever that project would be, the Planning Commission and City Council can apply a lot of whatever condition they want. You know, there's a lot of latitude on different conditions. Usually those are to try to mitigate things that, you know, say it's something in a neighborhood area and you want to limit traffic or, you know, I think a real good example would be Christian Dahlbeck had a studio space kind of on his way out to the breakwater there where he lived at the time. And needed a conditional use permit for that. And we just had some requirements like when you could be open, parking, things like that, just to kind of minimize any impact that it could have on the neighbors. So that's how it would be traditionally, or it could be traditionally developed, but that would still kind of take the City Council approval.
Real quick so I can bring this down to super basics for people like me. So this means that there's no way to just simply say that's my property and build something there because of the zoning.
That is correct.
There absolutely needs to be interaction with the city about it, no matter what. Okay.
Yes. Any use that is permitted within that district, zoning district, the mixed-use waterfront, is a required conditional use permit. Exactly.
So then it just becomes a matter of what kind of conditional use permit. So tell us what happened next with this project.
Yeah. So, you know, when we were approached with this idea in the fall from the developers, they submitted a conditional use permit application. What they were asking was a little bit more planned unit development, or PUD, I think was a term that a lot of folks are becoming familiar with this year. It just made more sense to go that route. There's a couple of reasons. One, they were asking for a little more density, a few more units than would have been prescribed strictly by the underlying zoning. But additionally, they were proposing a private road, and you can't subdivide property in the city of Two Harbors that doesn't have frontage on a public road. And so that was another reason that we kind of guided towards this PUD process. And so that process has four phases. And so just kind of, if you were comparing the two, the conditional use permit, that would just have the one, you know, the one traditional conditional use public hearing and approval, and they could go forward there, where the PUD, you know, cause I mentioned the four stages, application conference is just kind of what I mentioned, that developer comes to the city and has an idea, and then we sit down and kind of talk about what the best route is, or maybe some things that, you know, just kind of some guardrails around the project. And that's sort of how we fell into this PUD process. When we rewrote the zoning code in 2019, 2020, that created this new phase of the PUD process. So before, we just had kind of a conference, you know, sit down with the city, a preliminary plan, and then a final plan. But we introduced this concept plan phase to the PUD process. And this is, as far as I know, the first time that the city has worked with it. And so it's kind of a, you know, a learning curve a little bit. And that's why I, you know, love opportunities to come on to the radio or other, you know, other public input to be able to just get, communicate the process to folks, because it is sort of new for the city.
Right.
And so this concept plan allows an idea to be submitted and kind of publicly vetted. You know, it requires a public hearing from the Planning Commission. The council, which in this case elected to do so, can have a public hearing at their discretion. And then it allows kind of to look at an idea or a concept for a site that doesn't you know, require the developer to incur substantial costs, like if architectural or engineering,
right,
or legal. It also, you know, similarly to on the city's end, you know, if we were just going into the conditional use permit, we would need all the information, all everything at once, and that would, you know, trigger a lot of review from our end. And substantive cost as well. And so this kind of allows you to float the idea, if you will, and kind of talk about things like intensity, maybe the use. You know, we had a residential commercial blend, and just kind of, you know, kind of talk about some of those bigger elements without having so much invested on the front end.
Right.
And so once you get to a vote there, it's either an approval, that just allows you to get into that preliminary plan process. You can make an approval that would then put some conditions on that. So say you wanted to see a few changes, or just a disapproval with no prejudice. And that's what the vote was on Monday for this specific project. But that just says, okay, no to what you've put forward right now. But that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, things in the future will, this carries any weight into things in the future. So,
right.
Hopefully that makes some sense.
Yes, it does make sense. And so it seems like the process essentially worked because it allowed this developer to float an idea and have the city say, no, that's not the kind of thing we're looking for, before a lot of investment had been made on either side, essentially.
Yeah, correct. And we even got some positive feedback from the developer on this phase too, for that very reason. And so, you know, I think the city appreciated it, just having a little more, you know, it's kind of another layer of public process too, so we can have this public discussion, especially on this higher level item. And again, yeah, as you mentioned, we don't get too far down into the weeds, of the elements of the project. And I know, as this process went on, I think that was kind of frustrating to some folks, that we didn't have maybe all of the information that we would for such an important parcel and the potential development of such an important place in the community.
Right.
But that's just not where we were at this point.
Right. And is it true that had it gone forward with conditions, and then would it have still been viable for the council to say no to the entire project if the conditions ended up really not being satisfactorily met later in the process? Or is it once the ball is rolling, then it would have been quite hard to stop it without, you know, significant changes to it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the council at any stage can pull, you know, vote no and go against the project. I mean, that will always be in their in the or within their power. But I mean, if you do get that concept plan as an approval, it does kind of give a little bit of a signal that yes, some of these elements are what we look for, or are indeed what we're looking for in a project, and you know, it does trigger that investment that we're talking about. So,
right,
you know, while it doesn't, it doesn't take away that opportunity, I think it may put a little more pressure on both parties involved, really. And you know, one of the things that getting into that preliminary process, I think that wasn't as understood is, you know, from a staff side of things, if that once we get to that level, there's a lot more, or the fee schedule that's associated with the application is a lot more significant. You know, I think if I remember off the top of my head, it was something like a $5,000 or $1,000+ escrow that gets set aside for review, you know, engineering review, legal review, environmental review, all of these elements that we really have a lot of details for. But at just at this time, we didn't have, you know, we weren't at that level yet. So,
yep. And a related question from a listener, we've heard a lot about the soil issues relating to the land in general, mm-hmm. and whether or not it has the soil been tested, and if it has, is that kind of a thing, something that would be able to be carried forward to further projects so that we don't have to keep doing that?
Well, one of the things is those studies are often have an expiration date. And
okay.
So, you know, just because, as we know, a lot of things in the environment change over time. You know, I think just the wetland delineation alone, I think, is one that a lot of folks are familiar with. And those only have about a year long process, or a year long life, if you will.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, we're hesitant to gather all that, especially on the front end without any, you know, without that approval, I guess, into the preliminary phase, at least at this time. You know, they could submit information, but we might be so far out that by the time we're actually getting there, that might not be accurate anymore, and just would trigger the need for another one. So that's sort of why we, you know, we put the onus on the property owner, and that would be a part of kind of that next phase.
Okay.
If we were to get there.
So if there are interested citizens right now, there is no actual soil testing results for them to just look at. There's nothing that nothing definite right now about what the state of the soil is.
Not that the city has received from the applicant currently. There might be, and I just don't know off the top of my head, there might be some historical information kind of with the MPCA.
Okay.
Just because of, you know, this has some past work has obviously been done here. But nothing that I've gotten officially on kind of the current state, no.
Got it. Thank you so much, Justin. We're out of time. I probably could ask you a lot more questions, and I think it's really good to review the process, and we will keep doing this on the radio. So thanks again.
Yeah, definitely.
And
thank you, Katya.
If there's, I don't want to cut you off early. Is there anything I forgot to ask? Or are we all set?
No, I think, as you mentioned, I know it can be a complicated process. There's a lot that we could talk about when it comes to, you know, city related matters. The planning and zoning department sort of touches a lot of different aspects of what's going on in the city. And there's certainly a lot, but I do appreciate the opportunity to kind of talk about this process, because I think a lot of it is a kind of an educational thing. And like I mentioned, it's a new kind of a new thing that the city is going through for the first time, and there is kind of always an educational component to what we do, especially
right.
In instances like that.
Yeah, that alone was news to me, so it was worth hearing. Thanks again, Justin, and we'll have you again soon.
Great, sounds good. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That was Justin Otze. He is the city planner for the City of Two Harbors.